Brothers and sisters, I invite you to hear these words of comfort and words of reassurance and words of hope that we find in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels can't, and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the power of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. September 3rd, 2002, started like most any other day for me. And if you know me, I was a little excited because it was the week before deer season, so I was out checking out stands and trying to wrap up my preparation by squeezing it in between a few other errands that I had to get done on that day that I had off from work. I had stopped in to speak to my mother that morning as I finished my work on my stands behind her house. And as I stopped in and spoke with her, I could tell she was a little depressed. I was in a hurry that day because of what all I had to get done. But she wanted to talk. So I stopped for a little while and talked. And then I went on about my day because I kind of rushed things through. And I knew I only had so many hours in the day to get everything I needed to get done, because it was my only day off work that week. And as I left, I felt like she would be okay, because she had been dealing with depression most of her life. And, you know, things were always okay. We had had these talks before. I had seen her depressed before. And things always worked out. But little did I know that it would be the last time that I would ever see her. And that it would be the last time, and that I would be the last person to see her alive. You see, my mother took her life that day, sometime after I left. And I can only imagine that maybe she perceived that I thought she was a burden, along with the other things that she experienced in her life that troubled her. If I had only knew what would happen when I left, maybe I would have spent some more time with her that day. Maybe I would have listened more intently. Maybe there's something I could have done. But I'll never know now. The only comfort that I can cling to regarding that day is knowing that neither death nor life separates us from the love of God. Today I say to you, there's someone out there who is lonely. Today there's someone who is sad. Today someone is crying out for help. And I ask you, will we hear this cry? Will we hear their cry? We all have cancer and trauma and heart disease on our minds as the leading causes of death in the United States. But what we often fail to realize is that there is an equally tragic enemy lurking in the shadows of these other diseases. And that silent enemy is suicide. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death overall, and it's the 4th leading cause of death in the 18 to 65 age group. This enemy often strikes our children. Yes, it strikes our children. It strikes our adults, and it strikes our elderly at alarming rates. And it does not discriminate against age. And it strikes without warning, leaving us with the question of why. In 2010, North Carolina experienced 1,174 suicides at a rate of 12.3 people per 100,000 in population. Every 14 minutes in this country, somebody takes their life. In this society, our young people are faced with so many decisions and challenges that are significantly different than we may have faced in our early years. While our older population may experience hopelessness or loss of independence in the face of illness and aging and the myriad of troubles that they experience with health insurance, suicide has been glamorized by pop culture, through music, and through television. Many people may see it as the cool thing to do, while others see it as the only way out. We all like to think that it does not happen here. It doesn't happen in our church. It doesn't happen in our community. And it doesn't happen in our families. But what I can share is this, is that it does happen here. It happens every single day in North Carolina. Someone attempts to take their life. And we as the church, as individuals, as families, we're left to deal with the fortunate who survive, as well as those families that are left behind in a state of brokenness when they do not. And we, as the body of Christ, must address the brokenness in the lives of our neighbors before it gets to the point of suicide. We know that life can become unbearable, that it can become discouraging, and it can be tiresome with no apparent answer and no apparent way out of our problems. People can be afraid of living, and people can be afraid of facing tomorrow. Our problems can get that big. Not a single one of us, no person, is immune from the problems, the pain, the tragedy, the loss, and the suffering that we often face in this society. There are many in our communities who have experienced depression and contemplated or attempted suicide. We've all heard that phrase that there is no problem worth dying for, as a somewhat generic response for individuals who have thoughts of suicide. But what I say to you is that that's a rather simple statement that most likely is not going to be processed in a normative manner by those who have reached that point. They need something more. They need something more. And that's what we as the body of Christ have to offer. A more appropriate message is one that our Lord loves us. He loves us right where we are, regardless of the situation that we experience. And there is no place that we can go that God is not with us. His unconditional love is ever present. And we can and we must learn to walk in the strength of the Lord and let Him shoulder our burdens. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 tells us to cast our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Philippians 4:13 tells us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Regardless of where we are, we can turn to the book of Isaiah 43:10, where we find a state that, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of righteousness." You see, brothers and sisters, our loving God will be there for us no matter what. Personally, I have witnessed the tragedy of suicide in the 9-year-old child who believed his parents did not love him anymore. I've seen the 16-year-old who experienced a relationship breakup and committed suicide. The 15-year-old addicted to drugs, the 25-year-old with financial problems, and the 78-year-old experiencing loss of independence due to illness. Over the course of my career as a paramedic, I have responded to hundreds of suicides and attempts, and not one, not a single one was worth dying for. Problems go and problems come, but our God is with us. Yet we know that being a child or an adult is not an easy thing. But God will get us through it if we simply let Him. Because tomorrow always brings hope of a better day. Tomorrow always brings hope of a better day. Dealing with the suicide of a friend or a family member often presents challenges in itself. Many have said a person who commits suicide will go to hell. Who are we to judge? And what gives us this right to interpret God's decision on judgment? Because God loves us right where we are, and He loves us unconditionally. The Christian perspective on suicide and the doctrine of the United Methodist Church begins with an affirmation that nothing, including suicide, separates us from the love of God. We heard in Romans 8:38-39 this morning that I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't, the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the power of hell cannot keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Book of Discipline in the United Methodist Church states that we believe that suicide is not the way human life should end. Often suicide is the result of untreated depression or untreated pain and suffering. The church has an obligation to see that all persons have access to needed pastoral and medical care and therapy in those circumstances that lead to loss of self-worth, suicidal despair, and or the desire to seek physician-assisted suicide. We encourage the church to provide education to address the biblical, theological, social, and ethical issues related to death and dying, including suicide. United Methodist Theological Seminary courses should also focus on issues of death and dying, including suicide. A Christian perspective on suicide begins with an affirmation of faith that nothing, including suicide, separates us from the love of God. Therefore, we deplore the condemnation of people who complete suicide, and we consider unjust the stigma that so often falls on surviving family and friends. We encourage pastors and faith communities to address this issue through preaching and teaching. We urge pastors and faith communities to provide pastoral care to those at risk, survivors and their families, and to those families who have lost loved ones to suicide, seeking always to remove the oppressive stigma around suicide. The church opposes assisted suicide and euthanasia. As we sit here this morning, some of you may have been affected by this tragedy in some way in the past. Maybe you've had these thoughts. Maybe you've attempted suicide. Today, maybe you know somebody that is hurting. And what I can say to you is that someone who expresses suicidal intentions is not looking just for attention. like a lot of people will say. They need a reminder today of God's love for them. They need you to show that love of God to them. They need help and they need support. And we need to be aware of those places where people are reaching out, where they're showing those signs, such as depression or loss of interest in activity or friends. Or maybe they've got a lack of goals or plans for the future. Or maybe they're giving away cherished possessions. Maybe they've expressed thoughts such as, I can't do this anymore, or I can't make it another day, or the world would be better off without me, or I'm a burden. We need to be in tune with those risk factors that people have, such as previous attempts, or depression, or alcohol use, or drug abuse. Or maybe they're divorced, or widowed, or living alone. Or maybe they've experienced separation trauma from a loved one in death. Or maybe they've experienced a loss of money, or loss of independence due to illness or injury. Or maybe they have major medical problems or physical stressors. Or maybe they've had suicide in their family of the same-sex parent. I implore to you today that if you know someone that is reaching out or displaying the signs, then reach back. Reach back in God's love. Share God's love with them. And show support that only can be offered through the body of Christ. Encourage them to get professional help quickly, as there might not be another chance. And remember this, as we're told in 2 Corinthians 4:17, that our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You see, the troubles that we experience on this earth give us an opportunity to witness to other people. Do not be afraid to reach out in the love of Christ to those who need it. And I say to you today, let us be the carriers of Christ's light into the darkness and the brokenness of this world. Amen.